I have the distinct privilege of introducing to you today our guest speaker. Her name is Jenny Key, and she serves on the staff of EV Free Fullerton as the director of their women's ministries and their prayer ministry. She also serves on the national board of the Evangelical Free Church in a multitude of capacities, but her primary passion is over their prayer ministry as well. So you can see why we invited her, because this topic of prayer, not only does she teach well on, she lives it. It's a passion for her. The most important thing that Jenny wants you to know is that she's been married to her husband Jim for 45 years, and she has 2 children and 4 grandchildren who are the joy of her heart. What I would want you to know is that Jenny is faithful. She served at EV Free Fullerton and walked through many chapters and seasons with them of growth, of pruning, of joy, of hardship, and she's been a rudder for them. And she's a rudder for me. She's a friend of mine. She's the kind of person, you know, when I spend time with her, as soon as we leave, I'm like, so when are we getting together again? You know, you just want more. She's deep-souled, and she loves Jesus. So I believe if you'll open your hearts and your hands to receive this morning, the Lord will speak to you today. Would you please welcome Jenny Key?
In August of 2001, a group of us parents were anxiously awaiting the return of a great crew of almost senior high school kids that we had sent out 7 weeks before to China for a short-term mission trip. We had prayed without ceasing, for sure, for those kiddos. My daughter Emily was only 16, and this was a great adventure. She actually kind of taught herself how to like fish before she went, because she figured she'd be eating a lot of fish in China. I don't know. But anyway, they were coming home in the morning, LAX, we were going to meet them. I mentioned it was August of 2001, which was about a month before 9/11. And in those days, you actually could go up to the gate and welcome people coming in. Probably some of you don't even remember that that was the truth. But on that particular night, I went to bed at about 11 o'clock. And I was still awake at 12, and then at 1, and then at 2. And I was praying for Emily and thinking about her. And I'm sure at about 2 in the morning, I kind of was cranky with the Lord and said, why am I not able to fall asleep? And I felt that he said to me, she's not home yet. Well, on the trip with Emily was one of her best friends, Kelly Frank, daughter of Jan Frank. And before they left, Jan had said to Kelly, if anything happens, pray and ask God to wake us up. She didn't know how important that advice would be, because about 5 hours into the flight, that plane lost an engine. There was a sudden descent about 10,000 feet in 10 seconds. And Emily was sitting next to Kelly, and they immediately opened up their Bible. And this is what they opened to and what they read. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So Emily and Kelly began to just picture God holding the plane in his hands. They prayed that the angels would protect them, and they prayed that God would wake people up. Well, he did. Jan awakened at 3:37 a.m. She looked at the clock, and she felt impressed to pray about that plane. Well, at the same time, one of Jan's friends, Marion, one of her prayer partners, also awakened with a jolt and felt like she should pray for that plane. And God directed her, guess where? Isaiah 41. She was praying those same verses. There was a flight attendant who was a Christian, and she had talked to the kids already about what they had done in China. They had been there doing English language teaching at a local university. And so she knew that they were Christians, and she came over to them and she said, pray, this is serious. By that time, a second engine on the same side had flared out, and eventually one of the engines on the other side went out. Now, this story has a happy ending. I'm going to jump to that ending. We learned later that this was, at that time, and according to the FAA, the only time that a plane that had lost 3 out of 4 engines actually landed rather than crashed. So that was a miracle. The pilot had turned that plane around in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and landed in Hawaii. And that flight attendant, well, this was interesting. A friend of ours ran into her about 2 years later at a wedding, and they started talking, and she realized that she was on that flight, and she told this friend, she said, "You know, I had called my husband and said goodbye. I knew we were going down." And she said, "When we landed, they took the pilot off that plane sobbing, and he never flew again." That's how serious that was. Now, did God need us to be part of that miracle? No, no. But he kept me awake, and he awakened Jan and Marion and I don't know who else to pray, because he wants to partner with us. He invites us through intercession to partner with him in kingdom work. We're in week 3 of a 4-part series on prayer. Dave Ash opened our first week, and he taught out of the kind of the setup for the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew. I loved that message. Last week, Chris Ward spoke out of Luke on the persistent widow, in my mind, I think, nagging. You know, she was kind of nagging. Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm here today. Next week, Craig Hazen will be with you. All of us have been given the assignment to talk about prayer, and today, this particular piece of that I've taken is intercession. In the story I just shared with you, God called me and Jan and Marion to be intercessors, to be in between. About 15 years, actually, before this story I just shared with you, I was praying for 2 friends, Steve and Chris, who were traveling behind the Iron Curtain, and they were part of a deal where they would take the Jesus film into this communist country, set up a projector in a town square, and show it. This particular group was in Poland, and so I had said, I'll pray for you. I'll be praying for you. Well, on a Sunday morning, during the time they were gone, I felt awakened by the Lord, I guess, at 3 in the morning, so that must be a pretty significant time for the Lord. And he awakened me, and he just put their names in my mind and the idea to pray. Now, I didn't feel a sense of danger, or I wasn't even really honestly sure what I was praying for. So I just kind of prayed the spectrum of everything I could think of to pray for Steve and Chris, and went back to sleep at about 10 minutes later. Well, when they got back about 10 days later, I went and had coffee with Chris, and I said, "I have to ask you, was there anything significant that happened on this particular Sunday at 9 o'clock, or at noon, which was 9 hours later, at noon your time?" And she just got this startled expression. She said, "I just got goosebumps." She said, "We had just set up in a village to show the Jesus film when somebody ran in and said, 'Pack everything up, get out of town immediately. The secret police is on the way with orders to arrest everyone who's here.'" And she said, "So we did. We packed up and we exited right before them." And she said, "You know what? We never really knew who that person was and why they came to warn us." And wow. Now, could God have done that without me? Hello. Absolutely. But he invited me in. He awakened me to be part of that process. He didn't need to keep me up all night praying for my daughter Emily, but he invited me in to partner with him in his kingdom work. I'm so grateful. Would you guess that it deepened my faith, those kinds of experiences? And it really prompts me when I feel somebody's name or their face come into my mind and I think, where did that come from? That's such a non sequitur. I pray, because I don't know if that's from him or not, but I'm going to err on that side. I'm going to pray about that. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there were certainly times in Jesus' life where he stepped aside to pray. Here's one of them. I love this from Luke 22. It says, on reaching the place, he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And then he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. Now, have you thought about what Jesus prayed when he was alone? We know sometimes when I pray, often I'm wanting to pray to get my mind in alignment with God's. That was not Jesus' issue. I and the Father are one, he says. So except for the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a moment where he said, if this cup could pass. But I think the rest of the time he was interceding. I think he was interceding. He had just said to the disciples, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Then he went aside and got on his knees to have that time with his Heavenly Father. And I bet he prayed for them. It says in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there. Well, what's he doing? He's at work. He said, my Father has worked, I am working. He's interceding. He is saying to the accuser, the liar, the destroyer, the one that was allowed to sift Job, and the one that just seeks to destroy us, he's saying, no, these are my redeemed. They are righteous because of me, because of the finished work of the cross. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor, and he intercedes for us. So, what should you be praying about as an intercessor? Not to give you too much pressure here, but Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what do you pray for? Everything. Everything. There's no thing that's too small to interest God, is there? If it interests you, he's interested in you, in developing in you a Christ-likeness. I remember when I was just a brand new Christian, I was at the University of California at Berkeley, that wonderful Christian establishment of, you know, all sorts of things. And I started a prayer list. Someone told me, well, do a prayer list where you write down like the date, what you're praying for, and when it's answered and how. And this is so embarrassing, but one of my first prayer requests was, please make it be sunny tomorrow so I can wear my new outfit. Okay, that's how shallow I was. Eventually, when I got to number 888, I was deeper in the things of God. But I was praying and sharing all of that with him. That's what we pray about, everything. Now, I'm going to give you the best tip anyone's ever given you about praying with authority. Pray Scripture. Pray Scripture. God has already made those promises. He's already pouring out those blessings. He's already said, I will do these things. So we're not nagging when we say to him, remember where you said in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, let her ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to her. And if any of you lacks wisdom, well, that would be me. And you said you'd give me wisdom. Or he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? You told me that you would give me rest. You also said your desire is that none should perish. None. So I can pray with authority and ask with certainty that you are about the task that you have given there. So if you want to pray with authority, it's his. It's not mine. I'm not smart enough, deep enough, wide enough. But I can look at his word. Now, let me tell you the other thing that that does. It delights God because it tells him that you're listening, that you're listening. You looked at something that he said and you took him seriously. You took him at his word and you're reflecting back to him what it is he desires for us, for those around us. And he will give you power, I absolutely promise. So, who should you be praying for? Well, a spouse if you have one. Parents, if they're still living, children, if you have those, neighbors, coworkers, your best friends, your challenging people, should be praying for them too. The unsaved, the not yet knowing Jesus folks. When I was 16, a friend handed me a little tract, a little Four Spiritual Law booklet, that's what it was called. And I read through that little booklet, there was a prayer in there, and I prayed that prayer and I became a Christian. Well, about a month after that, my friend Sharon said to me, "I'm so excited that you're a Christian now. I've been praying for you for months." Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I honestly really didn't know what she meant, but it was stunning to me, and it was humbling to me that someone had prayed for me. Think about this for a minute. You may be the only person in someone's life who is praying for them. I wish it were true that those that don't yet know Jesus would have hundreds that would be praying for them, maybe in a general way, but you may be the only one that knows by name to pray for them. Would God have saved me if Sharon had not prayed? Oh, of course. But he invited her in as an intercessor. It was interesting when I met my husband Jim and got to know him and his godly mother, my mother-in-law. I found out that she had started praying for Jim's wife when he was born. Now, that was 3 years before I was born. So that's pretty cool that she was praying for me all that time. And God answered her prayer that Jim would marry someone who loved Jesus and would love her son. And 45 years this summer. So thank you, Lord. So what do you pray about? Everything. And who do you pray for? Everyone. All right. Lest you're feeling overwhelmed right now. That sounds exhausting. I want to encourage you. There's something that I call breath prayers. It's not original with me, and probably some of you already do this. Anne Lamott wrote a book called Help, Thanks, Wow. Those are breath prayers. You know, there are times when we can do the acts setup, like adoration, thanks, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Those are great. But in the face of an oncoming car, you can't go through that hole. You just are help. So I think there's prayers that are just the please, Lord, or the thank you, Lord. And that can be true for others around you. That can be, you know, for a friend, Ashley, purity. Dave, a softened heart towards God. Katie, her court case. Just as they come to your mind, they're kind of prompted there just to breathe a prayer for them. It's not nagging, it's just reminding God. And if you don't know when to pray, I want to encourage you to create some kind of reminders, some natural reminders through your day. When I was first starting in children's ministry years ago, our then children's pastor, Mel Howell, told us. He said, "I want you to imagine the door frame of the Sunday school classroom as a sacred transition. So when you step over the threshold, you are coming in to share the truth of God's word, to love children in God's name, and to do it with excellence and a sense of humor." Isn't that good advice? I don't think I've ever taught children since then without thinking about that as I enter that room. There's that reminder of that lintel, of that door frame. I don't know where you live, but where I live in Central Fullerton, I often hear the Disneyland fireworks at night. They go off at about 9:37 or 38. How do I know that? Because I've set up a little jog to my prayer memory, and when I hear Disneyland fireworks, I pray Matthew 9:37 and 38. See, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth workers. Thank you, Disneyland. It's such a cool reminder. So if I'm pausing at 9:37 or 38 in the middle of a dinner party hearing the Disneyland fireworks, you know why. Every time I hear a siren, I pray. I bet some of you do that too. I pray for our first responders. I pray for those people who are in trouble. I pray for those people who are maybe going to be arrested. I'm guessing maybe they don't have someone to pray for them. But I know in that situation, someone needs to be strong and courageous. Someone may need to be quick and wise and careful. Someone needs to give care or receive care. So it's just a little reminder. I hear a siren. I heard a siren on my way here this morning, and I prayed. When the kids were little, and I was putting their clothes in the washing machine, I used to pray that they would be covered early by the righteousness of Christ. I would just think about washing and and righteousness. I don't know why that was in my mind. Well, our son Matthew prayed to receive Christ about a week before he turned 4. And then our daughter Emily, it was about 2 weeks before she turned 3. And I remember thinking at the time, I don't know if this is going to really take. But it turned out, as she said later, telling her testimony in 8th grade, that her brother, then 5, had been giving kind of the lineup of everyone who was going to be in heaven and didn't include her name. And she said, well, what about me? I want to be in heaven too. And so he said, well, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. And so she said, come in, come in, come in. And by her own testimony later, that is when she asked Jesus into her heart. So I'm not sure Matt said it exactly that way, but. So when do you pray? Listen to this from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Okay. There's some things that are just natural. We don't think about breathing, do we? We don't think about all of our structures working and breathing in and our heart pumping and but to pray at all times. For most of us, it's easy to remember to pray before a meal. My husband and I were out with our 2-year-old grandson for breakfast on Friday, and our food came, and we started spreading jam on toast, and all of a sudden, his head came up, and he goes, Nana, pray. Okay, pray. We prayed for our food, and then he's my amen guy. I've learned early with little kids, they love to be the amen person. So you can say the prayer, and then give a pause, and they can say amen. Many of us pray for meals, but how about at the end of the day to thank God as a family for what he's done that day, or even as people are going out the door, just a quick prayer huddle for 30 seconds. Let's pray for Daddy that he finishes his project at work, or for Bubba at soccer practice, or Sissy in her book report, whatever it is, and then come back, circle around, and ask them about that thing. Here's the great news. As we each move more fully into the what and who and when of prayer, God will expand and empower our prayer ministry. Remember, we said that intercession is partnership with God in his kingdom work. For 18 years and 3 cars, I've had a personalized license plate, and it's this, NTRSSOR. Now, no points taken off if you don't get it. Only 2 people have so far without the prompting for me to explain that it stands for intercessor. Intercessor. Well, about, I think a couple months after I'd gotten my car, Jim and I were in our driveway and our friend Al came across the street. Now, I've been trying to love Al into the kingdom for about 30 years with chocolate chip cookies and spaghetti sauce and all kinds of things. He's not yet said yes, that stubborn old coot. But he came over and he said, I'm so glad you're outside. I wanted to ask you what your license plate means. And I said, well, it stands for intercessor, which means one who prays. He goes, I figured it'd be something religious. You know. And a couple weeks after that, we were again standing in our driveway talking to Al on a Saturday morning when a new neighbor, Fraser, came over and he said, oh, I'm glad somebody's out here. I wanted to ask about this car and its license plate. And even before I could open my mouth, Al said, it stands for intercessor, somebody who prays all the time. Isn't that great? So Fraser said, well, what do you pray about? And I said, well, anything. I pray for people, I pray about events, I pray about, you know, a sick dog that had just been happening in our neighborhood. I said, so I love to pray, I pray about anything. Tuesday afternoon, after that Saturday morning, there's a knock at the door, and it's Fraser. And I opened the door, and I said, hi, Fraser, and he said, would you pray for me? I'm feeling far away from God, and I don't know how to get back. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Jesus said his Father's house should be a house of prayer. How about my house? How about yours? One of the members of our prayer team at EV Free accidentally left his prayer team lanyard on when he went to have breakfast after church at Coco's. And a guy came up to him and said, hey, I just got a diagnosis this week of cancer. Would you pray for me? How cool is that? Let me just tell you, friends, our world is desperate for prayer because they're desperate. And when you're desperate, you'll ask for anything, even something you may not believe in. People will accept prayer as that gift from us. Here's something I've never heard anyone say. I've prayed enough lately. I mean, seriously. We've never said that. We've never also said, I've worshiped enough lately. We might have said, I've heard enough teaching, or I've, whatever it is. I've watched enough HGTV lately. But we've never said, I've prayed enough lately, right? And if you don't know what to pray for someone, here's what author Jan Caron said through her character in the Mitford series, Father Tim. She said, he says in her books, let's pray the prayer that never fails, thy will be done. Isn't that great? That's the prayer that never fails. We're aligning ourselves with what our Heavenly Father wants to do. Thy will be done. I started with a story about a plane, and so I'm going to end with a story about a plane. This one is from Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living. It was part of his blog in September. This is what he wrote. It was in 1968 on an airplane headed for New York, a routine and normally very boring flight. But this time it proved to be otherwise. As the plane was on its descent pattern, the pilot realized that the landing gear was not engaged. Passengers were told to place their heads between their knees, grab their ankles just before impact. Then, with the landing only minutes away, the pilot suddenly announced over the intercom, quote, we are beginning our final descent. At this moment, in accordance with international aviation codes established at Geneva, it is my obligation to inform you that if you believe in God, you should commence prayer. Is that crazy? I mean, I'm saying that. Is that crazy? But Chuck said, scouts honor, that's exactly what he said. And then Chuck goes on, I'm happy to report that the belly landing occurred without a hitch. No one was injured. And aside from some rather extensive damage to the plane, the airline hardly remembered the incident. Amazing. The only thing that brought out into the open a deep down, quote, secret rule was crisis. Pushed to the brink, back to the wall, right up to the wire, all escape routes closed. Only then does our society crack open a hint of recognition that God may be there and, if you believe, commence prayer. What a hoot. I love that. If you believe, you should commence prayer. Friends, I'm saying that to you. Commence prayer. And if you don't know what to pray, this will work. Thy will be done. Let me pray for you. Father, we want to commence and never quit praying. We want to be men and women that listen to you, that speak to you, that know you're listening and know you're speaking to us. Father, help our hearts to truly mean, thy will be done. Awaken us in the night, do whatever it takes to call us to be intercessors and partner with you in your kingdom work. Thank you, Lord, for these who are doing that same work as well. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.